This morning we're going to be in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And I just love the book of James because you know why? James doesn't sugarcoat anything. He says it as it is. And he calls sin, sin. And I just love the truth, don't you? You got to have the truth. But in our society today, they don't like the truth. If we speak the truth in love, we're either called a bigot or unsympathetic to other people groups. If we speak the truth, then we need to speak it in love, right? So, why don't we speak the truth? I think sometimes we're like closet Christians. I don't know. But James, he goes right after it. And he starts off verse 1 of chapter 4. He asks us two questions. One, what causes fights and quarrels among you? And second, he really answers it with another question. Don't they come from your desires that battle within? This is exactly what Satan wants to do to us. He wants us to fight amongst ourselves. And really, it's a war of our heart. It's from within, he's telling us. It's a battle from within. And it's really a heart matter. And, you know, we can't even talk about what's going on in Washington. As Christians, we can't even talk about what's going on in Washington a whole lot, do we? You know, we have a big voice in this country. This is a Christian nation. It was built a foundation on Christian principles. So we should have a big voice in what goes on in this country, shouldn't we? Yeah, say yeah. Yeah, we should, but we don't. We allow the 2% or so to get their way. That's because we don't say nothing. Because we're afraid that they're going to call us something. Listen, the truth is the truth. Sin is sin. James tells us that right there. Sin is sin. And he's not going to fool around. And that's why I just love this book. But in our society today, we need to take a stand. We need to take a stand as Christians. And we just let the devil and Satan just run all over everything. So, you know, this is exactly what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to fight amongst ourselves. And it's really a war in our hearts, like I said before. If Satan can get us fighting, then we're not going to be focused on God's will. We're thinking about everything else except God's will. I can't have it my way. I want it my way. It's about me. James answers the questions in verse 1, in verse 2. And I'm going to read that to you. It says, you want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. If we can't get what we want, what do we do sometimes? We just argue and we fight. And that does not help the body of Christ one bit. It doesn't help the body of Christ at all. You know, church, you know what place a church place should be? A place of love, joy, happiness, having relationships with each other, with other believers. Doing life together. Man, we're like a family. That's what church is supposed to be, like a family. You know, I'm also the pastor of the singles ministry, and we're a family. We do life together. I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm getting kind of old to do all this stuff with them, but they keep me busy. And you would think I wouldn't weigh this much. But I do, because I like pizza. We're always eating together. That's a good point. Yeah, we do. But let me give you an example of what a week looks like. This is doing life together now. Tuesdays we walk at Odell Weeks at 7:30. We go out there and we walk. 3 or 4 miles. Wednesday we have Bible study. So we're together. Thursday we walk at 7:30. 3 or 4 miles. We go walking together. Friday, a couple Fridays ago, we went bowling. Nobody could touch me in bowling, but they try. But we went bowling. Next month we're going to go to the Isle of Palms. We'll have a movie at dinner and a movie night, just doing stuff all together. Sunday, we're at church, and a lot of them attend both services because, you know, I think we should be serving. If you go to the first service, you should be serving this service. If you go to this service, you should come at 9 o'clock and serve during that service, whether it's greeting or in the nursery or with children anywhere else. We should be serving. And my team, my singles ministry, they serve. If you see them, they were doing the coffee this morning. They're behind at the Connection Center. They're greeting. They're serving. We do life together. And that's what church should be about. It shouldn't be about arguing and complaining about things. About because we don't get our way. You know, it's so important that we don't fight. And what is there to fight about anyway? The music? You can't complain about the music. There's no complaining about the music today. Neither service is great. Logan, you did a great job in both services. Is it the sermon? Well, maybe today. Maybe you can complain about this sermon today. I don't know. Is it the pastor or the staff? Let me tell you something. Personally, now this is personally, I work with the most godly men and women that I've ever worked for in my whole life. Upstairs on that second floor, they just love each other. They love the church. And they love serving and helping. Listen, you know, being a minister and a worker here or an admin person here isn't just an easy job. Every day somebody comes in needing something and needs some help. And our ladies try to help every single person that comes in. And the staff. And we pray. And we try to help them. But you can't help everybody all the time. So there should be never anything to complain about ever. I just love this church. I love our pastor, his heart. And you can tell that his heart resonates through the rest of the staff. Because we just love people. And that's what we're all about. Just loving and doing for others. It's not about me. It's about you all. And it shouldn't be about you. You should be about everybody else. Now, this hasn't happened in this church, I don't think. But there's a church in Illinois. And it would never happen in South Carolina. Only in Illinois where I came from before. That people, if they get mad about something, about what's going on in church, whether they don't like the children's ministry or the youth ministry or the music ministry or whatever it is, if they don't like it, they're going to withhold their tithes and their talents. What good does that do for a believer? We don't need the money. God, that's from God. He wants us to give and to share and to serve. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, if somebody's going to get mad because they don't like something in church, I'm sorry. It's not about you. It's about him. And it's always going to be about him. Oh, and well, I tell you what, Satan just enjoys it, church family. He just enjoys it. He just enjoys when we don't do the right thing. It ruins our testimony. It ruins anything that we're about. People who are at war with themselves because of selfish desires are always unhappy people. You agree with that? You ever see somebody who never smiles or always grumpy? And my wife tells me, now the singles ministry tells me, if I don't eat, I'm like that. So now they have Snicker bars for me. That's what you're going to say, right? Now they have Snicker bars for me. Because they say, I get grumpy if I don't eat, and I haven't eaten yet. So I might get a little grumpy, I don't know. But if we don't like something, we don't just stop doing it. Let me ask you this. If you didn't like the pay rate of your electric bill, would you stop paying your electric bill? Not today. Not in this heat. If you didn't like what the grocery store is stocking in their shelves, would you stop shopping there? Probably not. Or personally, like me, would you stop driving on Whiskey Road just because the lights aren't synchronized? You ever been out there? I'm thinking like, you know what? Why is there no cars on this side? And I'm sitting here with a line of cars and these lights... But will I stop using Whiskey Road? I'd like to, but I can't. People are at war with themselves a lot of times, and it's only because there's no joy in their life. They never have joy. And why not? Because they think that everything's about them. It's not about them. Instead of being thankful for the blessings they do have, now this is a good statement here. Catch this. Instead of being thankful for the blessings they do have, they complain about the blessings they don't have. What's up with that? Instead of being thankful for the blessings they do have, they complain about the blessings they don't have. And why don't they have those blessings? You say, Gary, why don't they have those blessings? Well, verse 3 tells us, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Warren Wiersbe's commentary says it this way. He says, sometimes we use prayer as a cloak to hide our true desires. But I prayed about it can be one of the biggest excuses a Christian can use. Instead of seeking God's will, we tell God what he is supposed to do, and we get angry at him if he does not obey. This anger at God eventually spills over, and we get angry at God's people. More than one church split has been caused by saints who take out their frustrations with God on the members of the church. Many a church or family problem would be solved if people would only look into their own hearts and see the battles raging within. We need a heart check, a lot of us, me included. It starts right here. We need a heart check. Are we doing the will of God in our life? Are we wanting His will to be done? Are we want our will to be done in His life? Oh, let me tell you something. As a staff, we want to do God's will in this church. That's what we want. We want God's will to be done in this church. And our pastor leads us that way. And in this year alone, we've had 73 baptisms of those two. 73 baptisms. In the last 20 years, the only time we had more was in 2006 when we built this building. We had 91. But we're going to surpass that 91. This is the first time in 20 years. This is the most baptisms in 20 years. So you don't think we're not doing God's will? We are. This is kingdom growth. These are new believers. These aren't church hoppers. They're new believers. Oh, I just love how God works when you're obedient and when you're totally submitted to Him, how He blesses. Verse 4 tells us, do not be a friend of the world. Yeah, you know, it's not easy to stay in God's will when the world is pulling you away, is it? The world will just drag you and pull you away, and it's just not easy to do His will. You know, a lot of you know that I go into the jail, Aiken County Detention Center, and I do one-on-one with individuals. And most of them that are in there, it's got to do with drug issues, whether it's shoplifting or burglary or whatever thing. It's about drugs, getting their fix. And I am on a board of advisors for the Bethel House in Columbia, South Carolina, which is a 10-month Christian-based recovery home. So I go to court with some of these guys who I think who's got it or wants a life change. We try to get them into the Bethel House, talk to the judge. A lot of times the judge grants that because there is no long-term recovery homes, especially faith-based. I mean, we could have all the recovery homes in the world, but if they're not faith-based and they're not getting Jesus, they'll never get changed. Only Jesus could change their life. Only Him. So I've had guys go there, several. They'll do good for a while. Had one been there 7 months. It's a 10-month program. 7 months doing absolutely wonderful, growing in his faith, got a job with benefits. Now, for a felon, that's pretty tough to get a job with benefits. I'll just tell you. Ask anybody. And he let the world get to him. 7 months. So he got caught with some beer at the Bethel House. So he got kicked out. That's okay. I'm still going to love them no matter what, right? We're still going to love them. People make mistakes. We all make mistakes all the time. Comes back to Aiken, get him another job. Brings a girl from Greenwood, South Carolina, who's in recovery, picks her up and brings her down. And that's the downfall. Now, what happens? He goes back to the same old thing he was doing before. Now, this was 10 months in jail and 7 months in recovery. At 17 months. And God was working in his life. But Satan is so powerful and so tricky that it doesn't matter. It's a daily thing that you have to be submitted daily. It's a daily thing. And what happened? He ended up passing out behind the wheel because he was huffing some stuff, ran into a building. He's in jail. He's in jail again. She went to jail. After 17 months, 10 months there, 7 months in recovery, doing great. But Satan just pulls you down. And he could do that for anybody. It had nothing to do with jail or drugs. He could pull you down in anything in your life. Anything in your life, whatever it is. For guys, sometimes it could be pornography, and we got a lot of that going on. Just turn on the TV sometimes and see what's going on. And boy, Satan could just drag you down quickly. Can he? Say, yeah. Okay, we're going to have some stuff going on here. Everything seems to be okay in the world. You turn on the TV or the news, and what do you see? Junk. You see the world is spiraling downward, fast. And if we're not careful, it drags us down with it. If we get caught up in all that, we get drugged down with it. Yeah, we could be spiritual and totally submitted on Sundays, but how about Monday? Or how about Tuesday? Or the rest of the week? I believe God will use people in your life to bless you. He'll use people in your life to bless you. But I also believe that Satan will use people in your life to drag you down. He'll bring people in your life that will try to drag you down. If you let them. Now, church, it's time to get serious as believers and totally submit to God. We have to totally submit to Him. You know, when I was working, I worked in a factory almost 30 years, several different factories for almost 30 years. And when I first got out of the Marine Corps, I was in the Marine Corps for 8 years. And when I got out, got a job, and you know, I wanted to climb that ladder. If you climb that ladder, you make more. So I was a horrible boss. I'm telling you, this is before salvation. You can imagine, 8 years in the Marine Corps, I'm from New Jersey, and I'm Italian. All that together equals an ugly boss. I'm just saying, especially unsaved. It really isn't a good combination. And so I felt sorry for these guys working for me. I wouldn't have wanted to work for me. That's ridiculous. But on March 28th, 1993, I got saved. I went to church because my wife asked me to go to church with her. And just the Spirit just got a hold of me. And ever since then, God radically changed my life. And there is no way, and I was 34 years old at that point, there was no way I would have thought back then that I'd be up here today. Only by the power of God. He's got a sense of humor. But it's been totally submitted. And really over the last couple, 3 years or so, that I really, really, totally submitted myself to Him. You know, we could say that we're committed and we're obedient to His call and His will in our life. But are we truly, are we for real? You know, we come and we listen to this message today, and what are you going to do with it? You're going to put it in your pocket and keep it hidden? Or you're going to put feet on it and walk out with it? What are you going to do with this message? It's time that we get serious as believers to totally submit to God. Verse 7 tells us, I love this verse. Submit yourselves then to God. I'm a kind of guy that likes visual things. So I want to see a visual thing. So I'm going to play you a quick video.
This player matchup so well. Many fans will stand for this moment for the first time. And there it is, a figure four. And it is a quick submission victory for play.
Is God going to put us in a figure four to get our submission? Is he going to do that? Absolutely not. He's not going to do that. He's not going to put us in a figure four. I know somebody went out here wanted to say, woo, right? I know you were thinking that. But God is not going to put us in a submission hold so we'll tap out and do His will. He's just absolutely not going to do that. It's our choice what we do. For us to be totally submitted to Him, we have to give up our desires and be submitted to His leadership, and the blessings will flow. Listen, if you are totally submitted all the time, daily, you're going to get more blessings than you can really, you don't know what to do with them. And so how does it look on the other side when you're totally submitted? Here, old Ric Flair is giving somebody the figure four to make them submit. God won't do that to us. We need it sometimes. Sometimes I like to go through that glass at Reagan County Detention Center and put some kind of chokehold on somebody's guys to make them to submit. Listen, this is God's word. But what does it look like when you're totally submitted?
Hi, I'm Nicole Woodward, a member of the Singles Ministry here at Millbrook, and Pastor Gary asked me to come and give a little testimony about where I've been the last couple of years and how God has changed my life, how my submission to Him has totally changed my life. 2 years ago, I was in a broken home. Ended up in Aiken County Detention Center for 27 days. That's where I met Pastor Gary, and he encouraged me to go to Faith Home in Abbeville, which is an inpatient drug rehabilitation center. Went there, found God, and since then, miracles have been happening for me every day. Came back, joined the singles ministry, like I said, joined the church, became a member. And just to give you an idea of some of the things that God has blessed me with, I'm not only drug-free and a member in good standing of the church, I'm also just getting blessed left and right, miracles, like I said. I started tithing, for instance. I had a situation, a financial situation I was in, where I had three things I had to get taken care of. I had a doctor's appointment, a procedure I had to get taken care of. I had a veterinary appointment for a dog that we adopted. And then on top of that, I had to get coverage for my vehicle, insurance for my vehicle. It was just amazing. You know, the day before, I prayed. I prayed. prayed and I gave it to God. And the very next day, not only did my grandmother give me the money to pay for the doctor's visit, when I went, the physician decided to drop the office visit, and it was two-thirds of what I expected I had to pay. The veterinarian, I went, and I didn't have to pay a thing. My insurance was less than half what I expected it to be, and he just answered every single one of my prayers, and it's just amazing. I've come so far from where I was, and I'm just really proud of myself and really thankful that that God has been here for me the way that he has been.
That's what it looks like when you're totally submitted. God will bless you. He will bless you. Not only did Nicole go through all that, she didn't mention that now she goes on Sunday afternoons with Patty Thompson and Amy Smith. She goes into the Aiken County Detention Center and does a Bible study with the ladies in there. That's being serving. That's being totally submitted and obedient to God's word. And God is blessing her. And she also didn't say that she's a single mother of two young boys. And you heard her say up there, she started tithing. But she also didn't tell you that she only works part-time. So she really couldn't afford to tithe. Like a lot of people say, I just can't afford to tithe. I can't do it. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't, God's not going to bless you. She started tithing, and God, time after time, is blessing this young lady. I just love her. And there's several of them in our church. Listen, the singles ministry, that's what we do. It's not only about them. It's about others in this church that are just doing the will of God and just pouring out their life and just submitting to him and just watch God how they bless him. So if you think you just come here on a Sunday and do nothing for God the rest of the week, that he's going to bless you and take care of all your needs, I think you're delusional. It's a daily thing. So how do you get close to God? It tells us right here also in verse 7, it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. So how do you come near to God? Well, daily prayer, speaking to him, daily devotions, being in his word daily, every day, coming to church, getting into a small group. This is where your maturity will grow in the word if you get into a small group. Not just come to worship service and then leave. You need to get into a small group, and that's where you have fellowship with others. And that's where you do life together. That's where you'll grow in your faith. That's what we do in our ministry. We just do life together. And just the growth because of that. Because we hold each other accountable a lot of times. And, you know, we need to be held accountable. Me included. We need to be held accountable all the time. Because, like I said before, the world could just pull you in and just drag you in, can't it? And it's so easy. You know, maybe you're going through a tough time in marriage. Well, I don't love her no more. I don't love him anymore. Well, it's about a submission to God. If you have married, like marriage is supposed to be forever. That's what it's supposed to be. But one or the other, somebody's not submitting. I bet you. Because when you do that, when you're totally submitted, the blessings just flow. And they continue to flow. But don't get too cocky. If they continue to flow and then you stop being submitted, being committed or being obedient to his word and you go back, right? Satan's trying to drag you down. You could be anywhere. You know, it's okay to do anything in this world, like I said before. Hey, listen, especially for the students in school, it's tough for them. It's tough for them in school. Hey, listen, it's okay to have a glass of beer. It's okay to have a hit off this joint. It's okay to do this or do that. No, it's not okay. If the Word of God doesn't say it, it's not okay. This is our instruction book. We need to read it and be committed to what we read. We need to put feet on what we read, don't we? So I'm going to ask you this question. Believers, are you as close to God as you would like to be this morning? Are you as close to Him as you would like to be? If not, when I give the invitation, the altar's open. Come on, pray. Pray. Just ask God, use me. I just want to be totally clean and submitted. For those of you who don't know who he is, there's never been a more joyful thing I've ever done in my life than give my life to Christ. I have so much joy in my life because of him. And if you don't know who he is, today could be that day of salvation. And then he could He can pour out those blessings on you. It starts with you. He'll draw you, but it starts with you. You have to be able to be brave enough to say, yeah, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. I don't have it all together, me included. I don't have it all together. It's a daily devotion with Him and daily prayer with Him and daily confession with Him that I have to confess my faults or whatever. To be totally submitted to Him, I have to give Him everything. Where are you at? Where are you at in your spiritual life, if you have one?